Recording in progress.
What I would like to discuss tonight is essentially the spiritual message, or if you will, the moral precepts that can be derived from Parshas Bereishis. Most of these yesodos I heard from my Rebbe, the Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal, as a teenager, and it resonated with me, and Ayom Hazeh still echoes with me. The Torah has a certain charisma. The Torah is not only concerned with mitzvahs masiyos, but the Torah also is concerned about developing a melchak, a Torah perspective, in every single area of our lives. And even though it seems that the Torah is focused on the chovos that are lamaisa, that we have to carry out, but there is no question that underlying many of the layers of the Torah are chovos avodos, doings of the heart that relate to physical performances. The entire Sefer HaChinuch is probably devoted to explicating those chovos avodos. And the Torah life embraces not only external needs, but also our inner world as well, which is equally significant. There's a fascinating chazal, which I always understood to mean, as you'll see in a moment, the Gemara says that Ein lecha parsha b'Torah she'en bo tfiyas hamitzvah. What does that mean? There's no parsha in the Torah that doesn't have elements of tfiyas hamitzvah. So the answer, of course, is you have to uncover the layers of each parsha, and you can find, as I said, remozin to the idea of tfiyas hamitzvah, and often when you examine parshas very carefully, you can uncover a lot of treasures, ikri ayadus. There's no question that human destiny is very much reflected in Parshas Bereishis. Both the greatness and the smallness of the human being is clearly seen. The opportunities for greatness, and at the same time, Rachmanu Litzlan, the other side of things. So let's begin with the first article of faith, which is well known, and that is the Rambam has in Mishnah Torah, when he speaks about Yisaydes, Ve'amud HaChechlos, Shakol Yibohu, Mamzi, as Kol Olam Kulo. Fascinating that the Rambam used the term Mamzi, as opposed to the term that the Ribbono Shel Olam was involved in Bria. The Ramban Chumash Ahim Bereishis writes, Ba'arichos, three verbs that the Torah utilizes in the context of the Bria. One is Barba, which means Yesh Me'ayin, Ex Nilo. The other is Yatzar, Ba'itra Hashem Elokim Esodem, Ofrem and Adoma, which is Yesh Me'yesh. The Ramban posits a Aristotelian Greek notion, which is very well known, called Chomer Hiyuli, athletic matter, which Ribbono Shel Olam created. I call it primordial chalent, which had in it many sundry and diverse elements. It was a motley kind of composition. So Briyas HaOlam, the idea of creation ex nihilo, is certainly at loggerheads to a large extent with Greek philosophy and modern science. And I don't see any reconciliation whatsoever. Soloveitchik was very machmir that we should begin the davening with Adon Olam and end with Adon Olam. I see in some shuls, I'm not Dal Hakim or Remiza, they sing Adon Olam, family on the Yom Tov. And that's based on the Gemara. The Gemara in Brachos that Tvila requires Chizuk. One of the things that requires Chizuk is Tvila. And Rashi quotes the pasuk, Kaveh al Hashem Chazak, Yam Yitzidecha, the Kaveh al Hashem, the fact that the David HaMelech in Tehillim revisits after the initial Kaveh al Hashem. And again, Chazak Yam Sibach of the Kabbalah Hashem indicates that we begin with Adon Olam and with Adon Olam. I mentioned actually on Sibas Torah this concept that Tzilu requires Chizuk, Torah requires Chizuk, Tzilu requires Chizuk. We might have several elements that require Chizuk. And the Rambam actually begins with Tzilu and Perak Tes. Tzilu Tzilu begins with Yishtabach and Baruch Hu after Yishtabach. And that's why we have Baruch Hu after the Davin as well. The same idea, the same Yisod that Tzilu requires Chizuk. So this idea, Adon Olam Hashem Malach, the term called Yitzim Nivra, is exactly what is embedded, that prior to any being that existed, the Ribbono Shel Olam was the only Melech. Of course, his existence is infinite, his existence is boundless, his existence is without any proportion whatsoever, And now with the existing creation of the world, there emerged an Ayin. Before it was Yesh, the existence of Hashem was the sole element. And now there's an element that is Yesh and Ayin. But we are aware that Aristotle, he certainly did not subscribe to this notion. He believed that matter is coexistent and co-eternal with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's now how Chazal, the Ramban especially, is the one that Barichas, the Ramban, is very marich on this topic we just mentioned a moment ago. So the Bria is Yesh Me'ayim, Yitzira is Yesh Me'esh. It's like an artist fashioning raw material. And the Yom Kippur night, we say, is really expressed in that very beautiful piyut. Ki Yineka Chomer B'yad HaYotzer. The Yotzer, and then we have a description of all the different artisans, all this, the different artisans who are involved in utilizing their talent, and based on their talent, they're able to form, in effect, creations, different types of creations. What Chazal says, Uman Kein B'Shevach Kli. That an Uman, because of his artisanship, because of his craftsmanship, is able to somehow instill into a Kli, really artistry and exquisite artistry of a nature which is unparalleled. And that's what our Rav Shalom did exactly in the course of the Bria. And there's a famous medrash that Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal was very fond of quoting. It's a well-known medrash. There was a philosopher who asked Rabbi Gamliel, he said that your borei was the tzayar gadol. As in Brachas, the Gemara says, ein tzur kelokeinu, ein tzayar kelokeinu. Chazal have a number of times this drasha. Rav Shalom was the tzayar. Tzayar is an artist, someone who's a maestro, someone who has, obviously, unparalleled kind of talent. So in effect, before creation, somehow there was this kind of Chomer Yuli. And this philosopher, he said, I'm reading part of the Medrash, he said, in what sense was he an artist? Shemotza Samamanim Tobin. He apparently found some sort of Chomer Yuli, some highlighted matter. What is that? The artist, I said, so Vavo. He found so Vavo. And utilizing that, that's how he was able to effect somehow the creation process. And right away, of course, Rabbi Gamliel responded to him, no, you're mistaken. It was all created by Hashem, his brother. He's the one who created this Chomer Yuli, and the Medrash indicates that this philosopher denied Yesh Me'ayim. He did not subscribe to this idea of ex nihilo. And no matter today what theory of evolution is operative and is still operating, but scientists will generally say that matter is coterminous with Hashem. In reality, science has nothing to say in these matters because it's a metaphysical issue. It's not a scientific issue. Now, so as you always commented, he said that science has the ability to answer the question of what. They can examine empirically that which is in front of them, but the question why is beyond them, beyond their capacity, beyond their ability. So essentially, my opinion is the same as good as Einstein, as far as this matter is concerned. It's not a scientific issue that is being evolved over here. And the Goyish world does not understand this concept of Yesh Me'ayim. This is the Yesod of Yahadus, the Yesod of Judaism. We have articles of faith. I don't know if you ever read Mendelssohn in Jerusalem. So if you read, it's very fascinating that Mendelssohn, he contended that Jews place emphasis just on deeds. We are orthoprax as opposed to being orthodox. But that's not correct. There's no question that we have a fair degree of dogma. The Rambam was the one who really concretized it in Yud Gimel Ikrim. The Rambam has in the Mishnah, at the end of the Sanhedrin, the Mishnah and Chelek, Rambam is a very novel interpretation which no one agrees with. Kol Yisrael Yishlam Chelek Olam Havo. So the Rambam writes the Mishnah Shnayis and Mishnah Torah, and the letters of the Rambam from the Buchim writes it. Many times he repeats this idea. Kol Mishem Mechune B'Shem Yisrael Yishlam Chelek Olam Havo. Who is Mechune B'Shem Yisrael? Someone who believes in Yud Gimel Ikrim. So there's no question we have dogma. We have this notion, and this Ikre Yadus, essentially, they are converted into moral precepts. Not only theoretically, but it's translated into actions. It's a moral norm, a moral challenge. And just give an example, the Rambam has in Sadia Torah, and also he has mentioned a few times in one of the books, in the Chedek Beis. The way you remember it is, Biperek, Lamed Beis, Ad Memches, Milev Ad Moach. He talks about Nebuah. The Rambam has a very fascinating, probably unprecedented analysis of the Nebuah, where he presents more or less the parameters, the halachic and agadic parameters of a Navi, which no one else has. There's no Rishon who presented in such an organized fashion the parameters of the Nebuah. And the Rambam, of course, deals with his knowledge of Torah Shel Ba'al Peh and also his knowledge of Tanakh. Because if you look at those Prokin, the Rambam can say there's just essentially a side of Psukim left and right. to prove his positions that he actually espouses. So Nebuah, when the Rambam speaks about Nisodei Hokel, or Nisodei Adas, rather, Leitna Shehokel, Minabeis B'nei Olam. What Nisodeis, which the Rambam asked for us, he has two Nisodeis in Nebuah. One is that concept of Nebuah, a prophecy, and the second, of course, for those who say Yigdal, which I don't say, I'm not the only one who doesn't say it. Rav Soloveitchik didn't say it. He felt the author was not sufficiently al-Qur'aned with the Diyukim of the Rambam, the Diyukim Likud. That's what he contended. He never explained what exactly the issue was. But he's not the only person who objected to Yigdal. The Stiglitz Hatzal also objected to it. There were others as well who had difficulty with Yigdal. I'm not, he happens to have a nice digit. But as I discussed in the past, the digit is so that I just wanted to mention one thing since I forgot to mention it, Dr. Sternschlitter. There was a very beautiful Jew who lived in my brother's building in Rechov Hashem, Mispar Shmoneh. He lived to almost the age of 100. And close to 100. He was born in Brisk. His name was Aviona Bromberg. He was a sheikh at the Eretz Yisrael. Born in Brisk, and he once, as a teenager, he came over to Brisk-Ob and told him a Shikul Torah. Brisk-Ob was very astounded by Shikul Torah and gave him a bracha, Shav Eretz Yisrael. He lived to almost 100. So he told my brother, I heard from my brother, and I didn't hear myself from Aviona Bromberg, who I happen to know. So he told me the following, that he heard from Aviona Bromberg, Mashkiach Nibir Shiva. I had to say this. He heard from Abraham the Lubavitz and Mashkiach Habib Shiva. No one here will understand what I'm talking about. But he heard from Abraham the Lubavitz that he asked him about Nigunim in Davne. So he told him once you begin with Nigunim, it's the antithesis of what Kabbalah Tefillah is all about. As they state, Abraham the Lubavitz decided to maintain that position. Okay, I don't want to discuss that issue really. Yeah, right. That's not my interest. I'm just aside.
Especially that over here, I've talked with Rob Zabba before. But Yeshua, why is that not it? It doesn't necessarily have the ability to, but it is a statement of what. I mean, it's a historical claim as to what, you know, it's also a moral as well, but it is a statement of what, you know, what exists and what didn't exist.
Okay, in some respects. But I would say in general, all the doctrines I'm going to talk about are really more in the why realm as opposed to the what realm. But I think the Sunder of Salvation is correct. Science, I did not as much as you did, but I majored in essentially biology, and all my courses were quantum mechanics and organic chemistry, physics, and the like. That's what I did in my undergraduate, and then I went off to Derech, as you can see. But so I think that that is a correct premise, that essentially science is concerned with what. I mean, they examine on the electron microscope or whatever other equipment that they have, the what. I mean, that which is in front of them, as opposed to really, I mean, they can posit all kinds of theories regarding the why, and there were many who did so. And they came to the maskana, there's no God. That was the maskana that they came to. But there's evolution or other kinds of theories that they, even Hawkins and many others of that ilk came to those conclusions. Okay, I just, but I would say overall, I think the son is correct, even though I hear what they're saying. I'm just using the Nebuah as an example. So the Nebuah's example is communication between God and man. I mean, the fact of that is that not the pagan world, nor the Christian world understand that concept. You may argue they do also claim to have Devian, but it's not the same. I studied the Catholicism in my day, and I think I don't know if I told over this story. I had a professor, I don't know if I should mention his name, he's still living in Shepherd, very well-known personality. So he taught in my undergraduate years and graduate school as well. I went to courses with him. courses on biblical polemics and the like. He's a very famous person, and he's himself a massive Talmud Chacham, and he would also, and Ostanach inside out, a massive Talmud Chacham. And so he assigned us the New Testament, and I was a very young man. And so the truth is, I didn't want to read the New Testament at that point in my life. Later on, I read it and saw how the jocularity of the New Testament, it's mostly mysterious left and right, all over the place. Anyway, so I decided to go to Rabbi Soloveitchik and ask him if I'm not to read the New Testament. So he asked me, are you holding by law or by grace? If you're holding by, you're allowed to study the New Testament or Catholicism if it's necessary because you're involved in the dialogue with members of the Christian church or with other faith groups, then you're allowed to do so. I was 15 years old, for goodness sake, so 16. I wasn't involved in any dialogue with members of the Christian church or any kind of polemics. And so he thought it was awesome. So then I went and brought that professor to him. The professor also was a Shtickel Talmud of his. And he argued right in front of me with the Rabbi Soloveitchik for about 2 hours on this topic. Why it's important for even a young man to have familiarity with this kind of literature.
Any young man or specifically the young man in front of him?
I cannot answer that question. I don't know. I would imagine it's probably any young man. That's what I would assume, as opposed to the young man in front of him. And Navan indicated, he said to this professor, when he becomes a Baki Rishas, then perhaps after that he can go ahead and engage and delve in other matters. But whatever the case is, the idea of Nebuah is a moral challenge. And the Rambam and the Bukhim and the Mishnah Torah, he brings it to our attention, and that's the ultimate tachlis of man. We maintain the ultimate tachlis of human beings to be worthy of Nebuah. Mi'ite kolam Hashem l'bi'im. And the Elder made the discussion that the Torah has in Chumash, that's really the ultimate object of every Jew, whether a person becomes a Navi or not, is on the one hand, is up to Hashem, is Barah, but ultimately it's up to him. And the language, we shouldn't quote this language, it says that the Baruch is not going to communicate with an immoral personality. Kashelu yinabe im hashor v'im hachamor. Hashem does not connect with the donkey or with an ox. So too, an honorable faith is converted by the Rambam into a moral goal, into an ethical law, namely Nevuah. That's how the Rambam apparently understood. He writes in Malamuchim, he writes in Mishnah Torah. As I mentioned, so the idea of Yishmayayin, I think, has moral implications. It's not only an ikar in Yadus, but it's also a norm of Yishmayayin. This also is embedded in that notion. So the belief in Yishmayayin is not sufficient. The Rambam writes, Kayadua Rasalvechik, I think, was the one who really publicized this and really popularized it. He pointed out, it's already mentioned in Rishonim, it's not that he discovered America. Everyone thinks every time he said Chiddush, that Columbus discovered America. No, there were many Rishonim who discovered America before he did. I don't mean in the America in terms of the geographic locus, but in Perek Aleph and Perek Beis, all the distinctions between the two, and there are many, and Rav Soloveitchik in the Lonely Men of Faith laid it out. And also elsewhere, he has this dual typology. You see it actually constantly in Perek Aleph, the Shem Elokim is mentioned, the second Perek, the Shem Havai is mentioned, and then we have in the second Perek, Biyom Bara, Shem Elokim, Erse Shalai. Hashem realizes, Rashi quotes on the spot, that in order for the world to be sustained, we need midas harachamim. We can't simply operate with midas hadin. So Elohim is Bala Kriches Kulam, where the Shulchan Aruch writes actually, Kol Yocho, omnipotence. And Hashem created the world. Elohim does not describe the relation between Hashem and the world. Elohim is initial act of creation. Hashem is the architect. He is the one who made the universe. And not that's the reason why we say, Rosh Hashanah night, Yom Kippur night, many Yeshivas is not to say it, with the Kaddish, without the Kaddish, but in the David, Bismar Hashem Haaretz Imloya, Tevel Le'yoshiva. Why do we say that? We're expressing the fact that the Rebbe Hashem is the Balabayas, the Balabos of the Gansanel. That's why we say that Rosh Hashanah night, Yom Kippur night. That's the very much embedded in that idea. And the Shem Havaya, where Shmona writes, is Hoya Hoya Be'iya. That's the Shem Havaya. Yom Kippur, okay, refers to by his existence. In effect, he makes the world exist and will make the world continue to exist. And the Havaya is really the idea of continued creation. That's what the Balatanya writes and many others write it. Hamahave b'chol yom tov b'maaseh bereishis. That's exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu sustains the Bria. Not only did he create the world, he sustains it. Well, the way many piyutim, especially those that we sing, or Shani Yom Kippur, Toyein Olamo. The Yom Hashem literally carries the world. What was that?
You sing?
I hope what I did was the greatest thing, and I provoked a lot of people into a healthy conversation, which is exactly what should happen. So I was quite happy. The world exists because of Hashem. You know, the world shares in his existence. To exist is a privilege that Hashem essentially imposed upon us. Hashem, we say in the pasuk in Tehillim, Hashem is. He's my tzeil, he's my shadow, because he protects me. Our existence actually continues only because he permits us to participate in his existence. I'll read the Lashon HaRambam, which I've always been thunderstruck with. You say this, Yamur HaChochmas Leida, Sheyech Mamtzi Rishon, B'chol HaNimtzoyim, Lo Nimtzu Ela B'amitas Yimotzo. What a Lashon. It's a very heavy, cumbersome philosophical language. But the Rambam uses terminology that seems to be Lufian Yuzdaiti inappropriate. He should have said, you say this, Yamura Chachmos, Leida Sheish Bori Rishon. That's the language of the Pasuk. Vayibra Lokimus Oda. Vayibra Lokimus Satanina Mandolin. And yet the Rambam uses the language of Mamzi Rishon. And then he should have said, Bechol HaNivroyim, not Bechol HaNitzoyim. What's Bechol HaNitzoyim? Lo nimzu, lo nibro, we should have said, elo bamiktasi matzo, bamiktasi borom. That would have been the appropriate term that the Rambam should have utilized. This is a question that's already asked by many. And again, the Rambam does not use that term, which would seem to be the appropriate term. Matter of fact, the Rambam doesn't mention the bria at all. So why does he use the term, as I said, mamzi, kol nimzo, himatzo? Why did he substitute what seems to be a more modern kind of terminology? The Rambam uses a modern philosophical terminology. The answer is that bria implies once upon a time, and that's not sufficient. Mamzi kol nimzo, he constantly bestows existence. It's an ongoing kind of event. I think I mentioned before, and I've mentioned once mentioned this, I guess as a bit, kind of joke, namely that the Balabas came to Rav Chaim Riske, to his grandfather, and said he wants to present him a chakira. So Rav Chaim said, go right ahead. And then he said, the marriage is marriage a one-time event, or is it an ongoing event? So Rav Chaim said, whenever you present a chakira, it has to be a nafkamina. So which one do you subscribe to? Which position? So he said, I think it's an ongoing event. Then he got to Darshan. Why is it an ongoing event? So Rav Chaim said, oh, so what's an nafkamina? He said, I don't know, Rebbe, tell me what an nafkamina is. Nafkamina is mazel tov, mazel tov, mazel tov, mazel tov, mazel tov, mazel tov. That's a nafkamina. And this hakira that you play. But the idea of mamzi is the notion that HaKadosh Baruch Hu continues to bestow existence. And the truth is, there's a pasuk in Shemais that the Torah says, when Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem reveals himself to him, so the lashon of the pasuk is, Eke Asher Eke. So Rashi has a pshat over there. In the language of the pasuk, it's actually the Shem Hashem, the Ram Mor Nebuchim, writes that Eke Asher Eke is Shem Havaya, his existence par excellence. That's exactly what the idea of Vikei Vavki is all about. Rashi has a different shot. Rashi says, hey, amen, I'll be with you in this Torah, just as I was with you in other Torahs. That's how Rashi learns over there. Ima anachim b'Torah. But the Rambam says, you want to know who I am? I am existence. I am reality. Oya hoy b'viyeh. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is all about. And as Rambam, it means that Hashem is existence par excellence. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives reality a presence. And the Rambam does not use the term bora. The term nimtza, because this is an ikro in yadus. As what Ram says here, yisoida yisoida tzvamur achochmas. Namely, what's that? As kayodua yisoid yud hayisoida say viyamud vav achochmas hay yuke vavke. So that is in effect not simply creation, but the continued sustaining of the universe. That's what the Ram apparently wants to underscore. Shem habayim means continued creation, as opposed to bara, which is a one-time occurrence and one kind of action. So to the path of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to diminish my existence. Going to the Rambam, of course, the highest norm, and the Rambam writes in Chumash as well, the Pasuk of Avraham Avinu, Ki Yedatim, L'man Asher Yitzav Es Bonav Et Beis HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'Shom Adar Hashem Rast Estok V'Mishma, L'man Hobi Hashem Al Avraham, Es Asher Dibre Olo, Ki Yedatim refers to Lashon Chiba, the love that Hashem has for Avraham Avinu, that he has for Klal Yisrael. So in effect, in Lashon Amin, in Sodei Ater, in Perek Beis HaLach HaYud, he writes, what a language. You have to read that very carefully. The Sefer HaTorah is not a simple read. Shahakol nismach lo b'hava yosef. Loshen HaRambam. What does that mean? Shahakol nismach lo b'hava yosef. You can't even translate it. Because everything is attached to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything leans on Hashem Yisbarach. The chibur, the attachment, the closeness. Hakol nishan elo. The closer one is to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the more meaningful, the more intense is my relationship. The whole universe clings to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To the intimate and infinite existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his relationship with the world, with Klal Yisrael, of course, the highest levels, the Eibus Hashem, and the non-Jewish mystics speak of Yichud. They talk about a metaphysical union, but we know of Vekus. We know of a different type of connection that we have with Hashem Yisbarach. And Shemini Atzeres is the best example. We just celebrated it. That's the Yom Tov of the Yichud of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Pnei Yisrael, the Goyim, and the Mekubal, that's how they understand the whole idea of Shemini Atzeres. Man comes close to Hashem. But there cannot be oneness. There's no oneness between the infinite and the finite. That's a famous problem also. So this one said a whole shiur. I don't think anyone had a clue what he was talking about in philosophy. He tried to explain that Rambam, that the closer you come to Hashem, there always will be a gap. There always will be, you'll never be able to bridge that gap. But the Rambam says here, again, HaKol nismach elo b'havayoso, to exist is to find myself in the ambience, in the embrace of Hashem. Sha'akol nismach lo. So while the Torah speaks of, as I said, in Perek Aleph, creation of Elohim, but the term Havaya is an idea that Hashem sustains the world on an ongoing time. Basically, say the David, that's the best example. Hamechadish b'chol yom tov nimaseh bereishis. That's what the Baal HaTanya stresses in the Sefer. Hamechadish b'chol yom tov nimaseh bereishis. That's what the Baal HaTanya writes. Because we begin with Yotze Or, Bavari Choshev, which of course refers to the process of creation. And we say it's not a one-time event, but a continuous event. And Hashem, of course, created the world. Chesed Ramban, actually, Baricho says this idea a few times in Chumash, in the context of the Bnos Lod, when they thought the world had been completely destroyed. So what was their motivation? Even though it was, unfortunately, and tragically, it was a relationship that obviously was not left a lot to be desired. The interest was that they wanted to rebuild the world. They thought the world had been thoroughly destroyed. And Hashem, again, with his chesed, sustains the Bria. And the Rambam and Ramban both say that initially, the Haaretz, I saw, Tohu Vavo, as I said, this primordial chalet. The Choshech Abrei Sa'om. And now, after the Chomer Yuli was created, this Hadarik matter, but it was essentially amorphous, without any particular form, and now it had to be undergo differentiation. And Hashem went ahead and decided to go and literally divide the different elements of the chalet, as I said a moment ago. Everything was intermingled, was formless, and then Yehi Or, and then all the other elements that the Torah describes, etc. Basically, Yotze Or, Avari Choshek, whatever Choshek is, the Tzid discusses this in his Be'er Shal HaTorah, is it the absence of light, or is it a creation unto itself? And then he writes the Kama Mukan. But this idea of fashioning is very significant, and that is embedded. That's embedded in this idea of Yudke Vavke. And of course, unquestionably, in Bochi Nafshi, that's what you really see, that the moment HaKadosh Baruch Hu would remove his Ashkocha, what's the pasuk say? Taster Panecha Yibahelun V'Lachfar Mishuvah. The world will completely, essentially, will self-implode. The moment the Ashkocha of Hashem Yisbarach is taken away, is removed from the world, and that is also an indication of Hashem constantly being Nahave Nechaya Olamas. Now, so many times discussed, even though there are those who claim now that it's a mistake in the text of the Rambam. Rambam has two Lashonos, one who says Amitzis and one in Mishnah Torah. One who says Lahami and one who says Leidah. So, Edinim. That's how Soledji said all Shia. But this topic, it's a part of it, is published also in Al-Achuva and also in a few other essays. And then later on, they discovered that the scholars are not exactly as he apparently understood them. But the way he understood these two terms, that Leida means to experience, to feel the presence of Hashem is Barach. It doesn't depend upon strength or character. A person can train himself in this area to feel Hashem is Barach. The fact of the matter is that young children, we train them to do mitzvahs nasiyos. We train them to do actions and to lead a life which is, well, ultimately, they'll be able to kain tanya mitzvahs. But that experiential element doesn't exist till much later. Then a person is able to nurture and to cultivate that experiential element, to experience davening, and to experience Shabbos, to experience Yom Kippur, to understand the exaltedness, the grandeur of Yom Kippur, cannot be felt unless I feel the presence of Hashem, unless I literally am not Masiyak Das when Hashem is brought 24/7. And I don't think this is based on mysticism, or you have to be a Chabadnik or a wrestler in order to be able to have this kind of feeling. It can be a Litvak. And the truth of the matter is that even the William James also speaks about it, Abdel. And others as well, philosophers talk about this this notion, the presence of the unseen, the presence of God. But so it's important, especially when a person is lonely. I remember towards the end of his life, so he was constantly, I myself heard it from him, constantly citing the pasuk, he said it many times. I heard it at Levaya from a number of his sons, and I heard it from others as well. You know, the sense of the when a person is lonely, so young people are not lonely, because even though they don't allow back to be alone, but that's what Solzhenitsyn describes the lonely man of faith at the very beginning of the of that unbelievable essay. I think it's his most profound essay. I read all the essays, but middle-aged people tend to be a bit more lonely, and older people certainly probably need more the companionship of Hashem is brought more than anybody else. So that's a concept that has to be taught, and they claim, they say, this is what those who are non-brisket, they say, on a heart, and a brain without a heart. So I remember Rav Soloveitchik once addressed that that phrase, and he of course, took issue with it. He said, I'm an incredible religious sensitivity, but he did confide to others about his emotional life. In general, though they saw were very, very private in the way they carried themselves, and they didn't discuss their personal elements, but Rav Soloveitchik said often that he saw Rav Chaim when he was in a different sphere. completely different sphere. He was in the Shmei Shamayim. He was in the Pamal Yishamala. And that is, again, something which is has to, everyone has to somehow nurture and cultivate. No, so basically what I'm saying so far is like Aleph Beis of Parshas Bereishit. Number one, Hashem is a creator. Number two, Hashem sustains the entire universe. But there's number three as well that I alluded to before. He's the Balabasa, the Ganze universe. He owns the entire world. And that's a legal, juridic kind of category. He's the master. He's the lord of the world. As I mentioned, that's what Hashem hearts and loa. The reason it says in the Navi, the Ramel says in Tehillim, "Ki hu al yam misodo the al naharis yadinel," because the Uman came, the Shevachli, he's the Uman, he's the master craftsman, the master artisan who created the world. And as a result, he's the Bari, he's the Otzer. I think Greeks, the Greek philosophy, which is Aristotle, which is what the Ramban quotes and others as well, that they thought Hashem was the Yotzer. They thought that Chomer Hiyuli was not his. And again, this is exactly, I think, the first, however you interpret the first Rashi, where so many, I remember I used to hear Abba Ibn in the 60s. Abba Ibn was the Israeli representative to the UN. He was an orator beyond belief. He spoke about 6 or 7 languages fluently. And maybe about you remember, perhaps anyone here remembers. He quoted this Rashi. He's a man who had absolutely no connection to Yiddish guy. Zero. And he quoted this Rashi. So why did he begin from Bereishit Bara Elokim? To teach us that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam decided that he's going to divvy up the world the way he decided. And we have something like that in Hazino. And then it goes on to describe Jewish history basically there in Hazino, and he pointed out that essentially that Eretz Yisrael belongs to us, and the entire old Tanakh revolves around that, right, which is a bit of a Rashi. And even though they're going to accuse us of being imperialists, and nothing has changed since the days of that Rashi. Amazing. Lista Matem. We're a bunch of brigands, we're a bunch of robbers that we captured their land. So, of course, the Roshan responds, he's the Odo. The Rav once said a Shir, published actually in the in one of his two volumes, and the Gemara Brachas, So Adnus, the idea of Adon, Adon means he's the Balabas. Legally, juridically, judicially, he's the one who owns the world. So that's a very significant yisod. It's a very significant precept also here that's embedded in Parshas Bereishit. The idea of Adnus, the idea that Hashem is the Balabite of the entire world. I mean, the Chet Eitz Hadas, which plays a major role in Christian theology. The fruit is mysterious, and the Chet essentially corrupted man. And Chazal, of course, have a different perception of this. The Gemara says, actually, Gemara Sanhedrin, also the Ramban Chumash, and Emor discussed it, and many Rishon talk about it. Eitz She'ochal other Rishon Mahoya. It was that there were little devils growing on the tree. That's you have that in Christian and Catholic philosophy, such an idea. But rather, either it was a chita, or it was a gefen, or it was a te'ena. Rabban writes it was an esra. The targum on the spot, targum uncles. The Rabban writes in the drasha. And the Ramban writes a few places, and Apia Kabbalah, and Chayiz, Marachadis, then it's clear the Esrog is a tikkun for the Chena Katnon. That's what the Esrog is all about. That was the Itzadask, and one opinion was the Esrog. So it's a regular tree called the Chazal. So what was the crime? So the Rabbi used to say, he said, somebody drushes on this. The crime was Gezer. That was the crime. Zela had, he couldn't have committed the Chet. He didn't realize that Ganim did not belong to him. He was only placed there, the way the Pasuk says here. That Hashem put him in Galim Lahav Del Lishonra. So this idea of Adnus is very significant. The Rav used to comment on this in the context of the two paragraphs that we say in the Ilan Yom Kippur, and we repeat the man next down the Eshek Galim. Tzvei Dinim. I spoke about it. I've written about this many, many times. Tzvei Dinim. These are the two aspects of man that the Rav used to say. He was a quote from the Kotzke, from Chumenu Mikot, said he had two pockets. One pocket it says Arush Yerfa Veifer. And the other pocket, of course, is the Tzelemot Kibos HaSa'od of Ramban Chumash, actually. And that passage discusses this by Richards. You see from the Ramban already this duality, this dialectical element that a person could rise to incredible heights that I mentioned earlier, or chas v'shalom, one could, God forbid, descend to the depths. And you see, of course, in the, let's say, the Dara Mabul would be a good example. Bati shochis aretz apel okim. This is hashkosa, bati mela aretz chomos. So why is hashkosa identified with chomos? And in Nidbei, the pasuk says, minachomos asher v'kapeyem. It doesn't say minachet asher v'kapeyem. Minachomos. And that's what we've mentioned in the Yilu, alam al-nechda al-meyoshi yodenu, both paragraphs. And so the idea simply is that Gezel and Oshek, Chazal said, you want to see it. Kol Oshek's chasok, you're going to be lavim. If you're going to be Oshek, you don't pay the person who's working for you, say, everyone to lavim, but Sigzel, you also say, everyone Oshek, or Sashek. So why is it categorized under Oshek? The answer is because not only the material world belongs to Hashem, but everything I possess, my body, my nerves, everything belongs to Hashem, my energy, my knowledge. So when I commit a chet, let's say with my hands, I lose the right to use my hands. That's how the Ramban Chumash writes in the beginning of Vayikra. Of course, the Rambam on the Buchim, the Rambam says that the idea of Kabbalah, the wind, the people led by the Zohar Mitzrayim, and the Ramban disagrees with it, and the disagrees with it, we shouldn't attack the Ramban. And the Rambam came out categorically, they dismissed the Ramban. My Rebbe, Hassan Alfred, told me that the Rambam is a Pasuk Chumash. That's the book of that Rambam. To wean the people away from the pulmas, from the pulchan of Mitzrayim or of Egypt. But at the end of the day, the Ramban writes that when I commit a chet with my mouth, with my hands, with my legs, I lose the right to use those organs. Those organs were a chesed given to me by Hashem Yitzbarach, and they have to be used in a proper kind of way. The moment I use them improperly, I'm a gazel. I have the din of a gazel, I lose the right to that organ, but Hashem in his unbelievable boundless chesed gives us the opportunity for kapara, to the korban. He said once a tshuva, Hashem, this also written in Al Tshuva, by Yaleh Lo'el Tachas B'nei, the doctrine of substitution, Zeh Tachazeh, but I have the ability to somehow find kapara. So this is all founded upon Oshek. Any chet precipitates Oshek. So we have an effect. You see that this interesting pasuk, and I guess I'm looking at the clock. Oh, there's no clock here. Maybe my clock is wrong. But anyway, there's a striking pasuk that all the Rishonim speak about here. Beginning of Bereshis. I have a few more minutes. How many more do I have? No, you can tell. I can't see. Oh, it's over there. Pretty much. Okay, thank you. So there's a pasuk, Asher Bara Lo Kidlasses, an impossible pasuk to translate. We say it all the time. What does it mean? Asher Bara Lo Kidlasses. So the Ibn Janach, one of the great Medaktikim, the Rishonim, quoted by the classic Mefarshim, he points out two verbs in Hebrew follow each other. The first is a verb, and the second is the infinitive. It's as if the Torah said, "Asher bara Elokim be'osa." He gives an example. Ki vayem azeh yechaper aleichem l'taher esem. Again, the same idea, two verbs, one upon the heels of the other. So he said, it's as if it was written, "Ki vayem azeh yechaper aleichem b'taher esem." And the one who discussed this is the Ibn Ezra, Kedaka Bakedish, Ha'orach. After the book of the long Ibn Ezra, as opposed to the Kisi Ibn Ezra. So this is apparently the idea of sustaining the Bria. The world sustained. Why? Says Ramban. What does it mean? That Hashem approved of it. He gave his askama. He gave his approval, approbation. The imprimatur. He put his imprimatur on the creation process. And also, again, the idea of, which is embedded here, is that give upon him sustaining the Bria, juridic ownership of the Bria, and the moment the Rebbeinu removes his Hashkacha Chassid Shalom, as I mentioned before, from Baruch Hinafshi, then essentially the matter is at that point laid to rest. Okay, I really just begun, but I always do so. Shukaya for coming, thank you very much.